Well, hey everyone, Susan here. Whatever you've got going on today, I'm so glad that you decided to listen. And, here we are. It's a new year. Hopefully, you are creating some new habits. Maybe you're making some decisions to perhaps get healthier, get a business started, scale your business. Maybe you've got funding rounds ahead. Maybe you've got revamping a company, whatever it is. The thing I will tell you is this, that how we approach change or how we approach challenge often dictates the outcome. And what I mean by that is when we look at it as a negative, we often focus more on the problem than we do on seeking out solutions. And my guest today is going to get very raw and real. She's going to talk about her struggle with depression. She is going to talk about how she came back from it, how she operates with her back against the wall, but how she had to learn lessons because she was so addicted to productivity that the collateral damage was almost herself. And she is not only an expert digital marketer, she is the co-founder of Ice Cream Social, and she's a mom of two incredible kids. And in this episode, we're going to talk about the raw and real truth of our mental health as entrepreneurs. So my guest is the amazing Ashley Stanford, and that is coming up in just a moment. And before I take you to my interview with Ashley, a couple things. One, thank you for being here. Yes, the show grew last year, but it's thanks to all of you. And I would ask that you do subscribe to the show and follow me personally on social at Susan Sly on Instagram. I am on X at Susan Sly Live. I'm on LinkedIn. It's not hard to find me. And follow the show channels on X, on Instagram, and also head over to LinkedIn. And I am LinkedIn obsessed. So I'm on LinkedIn all the time. I do have a team that runs other channels for me, but if you're engaging on LinkedIn, probably you're engaging with yours truly, me. And I have a big Facebook fan page as well. There are some things coming up in the new year for subscribers. So if you go to susansly.com, you get on the list, it's free right now. I will tell you, I will invite you to free coaching with yours truly. So normally to have a membership where you might get to coach with an entrepreneur once a month, it might be $250, $500. Right now it's free. And you just go to susansly.com and get on the list. There are a lot of exciting things coming. I always seed in my entrepreneurial journey. So some of you might know, I founded a menopause AI company called TPT, and I am the founder and CEO. My co-founder is Dr. Mia Chorney. You're going to be hearing more about that company as the year goes on, and you can check out more on the website, which is www.thepause.ai. So with that, I want to take you to my episode with the one and only Ashley Stanford, co-founder of Ice Cream Social. This is Raw and Real Entrepreneurship, the show that brings the no-nonsense truth of what is required to start, grow, and scale your business. I am your host, Susan Sly. Well, what is up, raw and real entrepreneurs, wherever you are in the world? I hope you are having an amazing, amazing day. And I'm just going to tell you, we are about to have a lot of fun in this episode because we're going to talk about everything from marketing to mommy guilt to co-founding companies to who knows what we're actually going to end up talking about. It's going to be great. I already know. And Ashley, I want to jump right in. Just before the show, we were talking about you have two kids, 11 and 14, and you know they've been raised in this entrepreneur life, right? And what there are so many people that are listening to the show. I have friends in the tech world and they work at some of the biggest tech companies we all know. And they come up to me and are like, I listen to the show and I'm getting really close to starting something. I just want to start my own business. What advice would you say to someone, especially who's a parent, who's listening and saying, I think I want to try to be an entrepreneur. I'm still working, but I'm worried about the kids. What advice would you give?
Sure. So interestingly enough, I started really my entrepreneurship journey when I was 8 months pregnant, quit my job and thought I'm going to start a company. So I enjoy putting myself in back against the wall situations when it comes to business because I've been able to prove to myself at a very young age, you can figure this out. As Marie Forleo says, everything's figure outable. And I have built that confidence in myself. And if you haven't yet, you know, there's always a great time. And honestly, you know, I don't want to necessarily say, hey, quit your job and just do it. But, you know, pressure creates diamonds. And when you give yourself no other choice but to succeed, you will succeed. And you just have to create that opportunity for you, for yourself. If you're too comfortable, I've been there in my business where you get too complacent. It is hard to keep pushing forward and dream bigger because you've gotten comfortable.
So what business did you start at 8 months pregnant? Because I have been 8 months pregnant four times myself.
In my career, I was working for a web development agency. So I was selling websites and I became known kind of in my network community of, you know, because I was pretty young at this point. And everyone came to me for social media questions because this was just when Facebook opened up to the world. Which at one point it was just college students, if you don't remember that long ago, but it opened up to the world and people started promoting their business on there. So people started asking me questions and I was like, okay, I'm like no expert in this, but I'm going to capitalize on everybody coming to me because for so long I struggled in business thinking I'm too young. No one's going to take me seriously to now, me being young is now working to my advantage. And so I essentially just created a business where I would design people's Facebook profile images and header photos. And from there, it just continued on and on into a world of digital marketing until I essentially, you know, had touched kind of every piece of digital marketing.
That's so interesting because a lot of, I was saying in the episode I did with Jennifer Ryan, the co-founder of Crew, we were talking about this whole concept of 70% of Americans, and I know this is a global show, but 70% of Americans, USA Today did a poll, Ashley, you probably know this, and 70% of Americans say they want to start their own business, but less than 7% of them ever do. And here you are, 8 months pregnant, you're like, I'm going to start a business. Why not?
Yes.
There's a baby coming. Like what was the biggest challenge for you juggling an infant and a new company, especially in those early days of Facebook when the demand just grew and grew and grew? Because the wonderful thing about your business, that business was you do the profile and someone's like, oh, that profile looks really good. Oh, you need to see Ashley. And they were essentially doing your advertising for you. They were paying you, but they were your advertisers, which I'm, yeah. So how did you navigate that?
Yeah. I mean, to give you a little more background of just kind of putting yourself in situations, it was 2009. Recession just started. 8 months pregnant. I was very young. And I had just moved from a very small town where I grew up, you know, one stoplight kind of farm town, knew everyone in the whole county, and had grew up there my whole life and moved to California. So didn't know anybody, like really starting over, extremely homesick. And I just had this fire inside of, I didn't want to have to go back home and kind of tell everyone that I didn't succeed or I couldn't do it. I couldn't do what I set out to do. And it's interesting because I'll look back in different moments in my life where I achieved a certain level of success. And it's always something like that from the outside that has fueled me of, you know, I don't want to let so-and-so down or, you know, I want to make somebody proud. And so sometimes I'll just try. I've outgrown that a lot now, now that I'm almost 40, but I do try to kind of find those situations and dwell on it because, you know, at a younger age, that is what really fueled me. And I think the biggest struggle outside of just like figuring it out and having a newborn and all of that, was we're still, the internet was very early. So it wasn't, you didn't have all this information at your fingertips like you do today. You can figure out anything today. And if you can't figure it out, you can get on Upwork and hire someone to figure it out for you really quickly. And I was just at a point where I didn't have all the answers. I didn't have enough income to like outsource everything or find the right people. And so it was really pushing myself, teaching myself how to do things that I didn't know how to do and didn't have, you know, the money to figure it out or the educational resources to figure it out, and really kind of pushing myself beyond what I knew I was capable of doing.
So I love that. Like the concept of, you and I were talking about Marie Forleo's book, Everything is Figure Outable, yes. Right? And this concept of now, like, you know, if I want to learn something, I just go on ChatGPT-4 and I'm like, right. Okay, just tell me, you know, right? And of course, yes, I'm disclaiming this, everyone, since you all know all over the world that I, you know, co-founded an AI company, I just founded a new one, that yes, I know not all the references are accurate, but it's just this pointing of saying, oh, I want to learn whatever it is and how to build a website or, you know, whatever, and I could learn it. During that time, what was a skill you learned that it either surprised you that you learned it or that people might be surprised to know that that's something in your toolbox?
I would say coding.
Mm.
HTML, a little bit of JavaScript. I mean, today I since don't really touch that stuff, but if I'm tinkering and trying to figure something out, at least knowing the basics and enough to be dangerous to kind of troubleshoot or find where a problem could be, that's one skill that I had to figure out, had to teach myself, had to read a book, and very valuable to this day.
Oh, definitely. Is to understand that. And so much has changed too. There are no code websites. There's no code everything. I built an LLM. I've built several now without coding it. It's just putting the right data into it for the, I know my friend Kelly always says to me, Susan, you speak in acronyms that some people don't know what they mean. So I mean, large language model, like my own GPT, but there, you can just build everything. And actually, there's a new AI program that you probably know about, and you just can clone any website you want and just modify it. And it's $100 a year for that. And, you know, it's amazing how the world has changed, but knowing how to ask the right questions, I think, Ashley, is a gift for sure. So you co-founded Ice Cream Social. And, you know, it's legit. It has a Crunchbase profile. It's been in the media. Tell, like, how did that journey happen?
Yeah. So Ice Cream Social, which won't get into it, it's a social referral widget, but it was birthed from a need of my clients. And I was working, still do, with a lot of clients in the event industry, helping them with their marketing strategies. And a lot of my clients were just kind of hitting this wall and needing to sell more tickets, but not wanting to increase their marketing budgets. And so I love optimization, tinkering, like grew up playing video games. Really only loved playing Mario. So I'd play over and over and over again. And you have to like create new challenges of like, okay, this time I'm going to see how many coins I can collect. And so just that filter I have on things of looking at things over and over again and trying to figure out, you know, what can I fix? Or Tony Robbins has this whole like 2% philosophy. Like, what is that like little tiny thing that you can do that's going to make a difference? And from there, we created Ice Cream Social to help people essentially take word of mouth marketing to that digital format and help people sell more tickets in this particular case without having to spend more money on social media ads or, you know, acquire a larger email list or whatever the case may be. So really, it was just born from a need of something, listening to problems.
Well, and that's how most great businesses are born. How long did it take you to go from, oh, I'm hearing this problem, to I think I can solve it, to actually solution generation? What was the length of time?
Sure. So I think from hearing the problem, coming up with an idea, and having some sort of iteration of Ice Cream Social at the time, before it was even called Ice Cream Social, it's just like a tool that we had in our software, maybe 6 to 8 months. And, you know, we continued to refine it over time. And it really wasn't until COVID hit and I was working in events, and events were not happening. So scary time to be working in events and talking to a lot of our clients. Some of our clients, you know, are larger brands that have, you know, like a retail component to their events as well, where they'll sell athletic wear and whatnot. And so those clients came to us and were like, hey, we loved Ice Cream Social to help sell more tickets. What if we put it on our e-commerce website? Like, can we do that? And we were like, okay, sure. So we essentially peeled off Ice Cream Social, which was just a feature set within another software tool that is our parent company, peeled it off and made it its own company, to which it did, you know, succeed and catch the attention of people like NBC Comcast, who came in as a partner to our company to work with us, which has been really cool and a great experience. So it's, again, those uncomfortable situations where your back is against the wall. And what are you going to do? You're not just going to accept failure, no matter what the circumstances are. So you push yourself and create something.
I love that, because I had a dear friend who was in the ticket business, and I don't know if his transaction has fully gone through. I won't disclose who it is, but we're talking like tickets, like Formula One tickets, mm-hmm. and US Open tickets. And then suddenly the world shuts down and he's like, you know, what do I do? Because some of those events don't virtualize well. Yeah. No, but then you see someone like Tony Robbins, who said, okay, well, you mentioned Tony, right? I've done a couple of speaking events, where Tony's speaking, I'm speaking, and he takes, you know, Unleash the Power Within, which it's a rite of passage in our house. Like the kids, when they turn 13, I take them, they walk the fire, and the youngest one hasn't yet, because he takes the event and he's like, we're going to do it all virtually.
Yeah.
Like, such a huge pivot. Yeah. To be able to do that. So I want to, because of your expertise and your background in marketing, in event marketing, and people listening, and how you are so able to, like, I'm putting you on the big stage right now, because you have been able to, you said, my back's up against the wall and I'm able to create. If you had to put that process into how your mind works, Ashley Stanford's mind works, like, my back's against the wall, I've got to come up with a solution. Do you have a process for that? Or, like, sort of, if you look at it forensically, Ashley, is there a way you kind of go about problem solving? Because I think it's an incredible skill.
Great question. I've got a few thoughts around that. And also, fellow firewalker, by the way. So
nice.
I love that you do that with me. So the first one is, I know I mentioned, you know, just putting your back against the wall, giving yourself no choice. If you haven't taken big risks in your life before, that just sounds like, yeah, not for me. So once I kind of reached a place, as I mentioned before, where I got pretty complacent, you know, things were going really smoothly, and it can get hard to motivate yourself or, you know, find that drive to take things to the next level. I had to dig in and figure out how can I build that confidence muscle if I don't have like a ginormous risk that I want to take right now necessarily. And so one thing that I learned was, you know, you have to build that confidence muscle in yourself. And sure, maybe today it's not quitting your job and starting your business, but what are those little things that you can do every day to build habits that build trust within yourself? And I'm talking, you know, essentially kind of discipline and good habits. And it can be as little as, you know, sticking to a strict, maybe health and diet routine. Maybe you're cutting out sugar and alcohol or whatever the case may be, or, you know, maybe a fitness regimen where you're going to work out every day, or if you've heard of like 75 hard, maybe you want to do a program like that. Those are things that can build your confidence right now. It can be small. Start by like habit stacking, essentially, because subliminally, you're just telling yourself that, okay, you can do this. You're building that belief in yourself. And then, you know, maybe 6 months from now, whatever the case may be, you're going to have a stronger confidence in yourself to say you're going to do something and actually do it. So if something as drastic as quitting your job sounds too much right now, start small. Start by eating a healthy breakfast every day or whatever the case may be, whatever that looks like for you. I'm sure we all have those habits that we know in the back of our head that we want to implement into our life, but we're not. Maybe it's not hitting the snooze button, something as simple as that. So I would say that would be a really great place to start. And then the other big thing for me that I found that I need to do is I love working when it's something I've like found passion in. Like I can lose myself in that. And I found that it's really important for me to give myself space to problem solve. And I know that sounds so simple, but for me, what that looks like is taking regular walks, or you can see all these books behind me. I love to read. And for the longest time, I restricted myself from reading anything fun. If it wasn't self-help or business, I couldn't understand why it was worth my time to read. And one day I just, you know, I was done. Like I just couldn't open a self-help book. Like I just kind of needed a breather. And I picked up a book for fun. And the creativity in my mind just started rolling again, you know? So giving yourself that space to play and have emptiness without trying to fill it. As I mentioned, I love optimization. So I'm always like, okay, how can I optimize my routine and like make sure I'm really utilizing every minute of every day the way it should be? And that can get exhausting. And I found just making sure I have space to be empty, to think, to play, whatever the case may be.
I think that's huge. And I love what you said, because the whole concept of walking, and as when I stepped down, it was in the media, so I can talk about it, but when I stepped down as co-CEO of Radius, then it's in the press and people are asking me, you know, what's going on and what's the story behind the story. Right. And then my new company was just in the media, and, you know, the startup that is in the menopause space using AI and gamification, you mentioned, you know, gaming.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you, if I don't get out there, I work out every morning and that's my workout. That's the necessity, but right. The walking. And I find if I'm not doing a lot of walking during the day, like I'll just grab my husband and say, okay, let's go for 20 minutes. Let's go for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, because I need that brain dump to clear the space to either solve the problem or come up with, you know, whatever is the next step for something. So I love that you said that. In your career, someone might say, oh, girlfriend has got this together. I mean, man, oh man, she's walked the fire. She's read, you know, all of these books. She knows what she's doing. She can teach herself coach. She could do all these things. What has been one of the most challenging things in your career that people might not know about or expect just getting to know you?
Great question. I would say kind of a difficult lesson for me to learn, which I kind of touched on already, was that, you know, giving myself space And I had to learn to really give myself space to enjoy life. That's still a little bit of a dance for me. And so I've had to kind of adjust my life and make sure I surround myself with people who, you know, do bring me joy, who do make me see a different side of life, because I could very well like work my life away. And I have to a point that it's just caused, you know, crippling depression, where there was a period where I couldn't even quit everything I was doing, shut down my computer, couldn't even turn it back on for months, and just trying to define like, who am I if I'm not doing this? And, you know, just finding a way to really be that example for my children, to, you know, not necessarily show them this entrepreneur life, but my goal as a mom, as a parent, is to just show them a life that like I love living, a life that's fun, a life that's worth getting out of bed for. They can go do whatever they want. They want to be an entrepreneur, if they want to go to college, if they don't want to go to college, if they want to do this, that, I don't care. I'm just here to set an example of like what life could be if they do, you know, work hard, be a good person, and, you know, all those things. So I would say it looks like, you know, from the outside and these highlights and podcast interviews, like it can look like someone really has their things together, but it's also come from some really dark places and having to put things back together.
How did you come back from that? You know, we've talked about David Phillips, and I talked about depression, and he was severely depressed. And we've had other guests talk about, you know, all sorts of trauma that has happened. And I think anytime we can gift listeners with, because there are people listening right now who might be going through depression or have a family member who is, and they're always looking for new strategies. So as the woman who solves things, right? Harry Potter was the boy who lived. You're the woman who solves things. How did you solve that for yourself? How did you come back?
Very fitting. We just had a giant rainy night at Hogwarts sleepover for my daughter's birthday last weekend. So I love the Harry Potter reference. So as someone who for a long time valued myself for my productivity, like if I wasn't being productive, like I did not think I was worthy of being loved or loving myself. And that was hard to let go of and just realize, okay, we are not, you know, these little robots. And so allowing myself grace, but really how I was able to come through that dark period, I would say it was very situational depression, you know, something that I dealt with for about 8 months, where I could not work. I could not do anything other than like get up, get my kids to school, feed them, and, you know, just like the basics of each day. And I did it exactly how I described earlier with that habit stacking. Okay, I just have to take care of myself and take care of myself in a way that I've never been taken care of ever. So it was, you know, forcing myself to work out, which in many cases, the last thing you want to do when you're depressed is work out. So in a lot of cases, it was a walk around the block. And if that's all I could do, like that's all I could do. And, you know, learning to play with my food and eating healthy, but trying to find a way to make it fun, like making smoothie bowls, like all the super basic self-care of just working out, eating right. And I did just a lot of meditation, journaling, and reading softer books. There's a book that I love called The Desire Map by Danielle Laporte. And it's really more of a workbook, and you just figure out essentially how to create a life that is built around how you want to feel day to day. And, you know, it was really just a matter of self-nurturing, which can be difficult when you do have, you know, children that you're responsible for. And, but just, yeah, really, that's all I could do, and just giving myself the grace. But I was able to rebuild that confidence to pick myself up again because I just focused on self-care, which
Yeah.
obviously you should be doing that always and not have to stop work and spend several months teaching yourself that. So building those little habits while you're before you become an entrepreneur is very helpful.
Well, entrepreneurial depression is real. And I love your candor, Ashley. It's real because in the entrepreneurial life, they're, one shouldn't get too high and too low. Like, oh, I got funding, and then yay. And then the next day, like, my top, data scientist quits, or, whatever. It's that it's real, and it often happens after a win. And you're holding yourself to the next one and the next one. I have to prove myself, and I have to, and at what cost? And often the collateral damage, the divorce rate is highest in entrepreneurs, drug and alcohol use, like the list goes on and on. And to be able to say, oh, okay, wait a minute. I'm still going to be an entrepreneur. I'm still committed to this path. But I can't keep doing it the way I was doing it. And I can resonate so deeply with you, because I got to that point myself in 2016, where I
Yeah.
said, I can't, my mentor died, my best friend died of cancer. It was, and I was like, I can't do this the way I was doing it. It doesn't work. Those strategies to put, quote unquote, push myself, they don't work anymore at this stage of my life. And I'm 51 now. So, I was in my 40s at that time. It just didn't work. And when it didn't work, I was like, oh, I need a new playbook for me, because this doesn't work for me. And that shift, and I also shifted my brain to think about things like going for a massage as actually more productive. Because I saw the net gain in it. Like, oh, if I go for a massage and I step out and I'm not like wired, 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 then I come back, I'm calmer. If I look at something through the lens of being calm, oh my gosh, this is a revelation, right? It's this new perspective and shifting. Like Tony talks about, if you want to shift your psychology, shift your physiology.
Yes.
You and I were talking about, before we started the show, we're talking about digital marketing and artificial intelligence. And so you have, as you mentioned, some big brand clients. You also have, you have been in this space for a long time, and you are an expert in this space. So what are your thoughts around AI specifically and digital marketing? And are you nervous about AI potentially taking away the role of the digital marketer for a client?
Great question. And I think at first, as you know, ChatGPT and other AI tools quickly got released, yeah, it was a scary thought at first of, oh my gosh, everyone can write their own email copy, their own social media posts, like everything. They're not going to need us. It's a scary thought at first until I played with it myself and thought, oh my gosh, my productivity is going through the roof now. Can do things so much quicker, and you know, I don't know what it'll look like for a digital marketer, let's say 5 years from now, but you asked me about my first business, and it was actually, I called it Innovative Fox, and it was just this whole idea that a fox is one of the only animals that can rapidly adapt to their environment. So I have always kind of lived by that philosophy of it's fine, we'll adapt, whatever happens. And I do, as a digital marketer, I don't know what I'll be doing 5 years from now, but I do still see the value in strategic thinking and tactical thinking and how those two play together. And of course, again, it does become a little bit of an art of knowing how to use the AI. It's one thing to have this tool available to everyone, but it is a lot in how you ask questions to get the right answers. There are, of course, still very important human skills, critical thinking needed. And these tools, you know, can be an asset to you if you let them. And it can allow you to free up some of your brain space to grow and learn something new that's going to be of value and help move forward in society.
And to that point, the productivity piece, in one of my businesses, you know, I'll put out the email for the show, but my team will tell you, and I love you all because they listen to the show, that I'm very particular in how I want that email to go out, because I want, you know, proper tagging. I want the guest to look really good. And so in all my quote unquote spare time, I've taken back the role of content creator for those emails, and I will use GPT-4. And you know, the great thing, I can take this show transcript, I can take your bio, I can take interviews about you. And I can also say, this is the tone I want you to write this in, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, it used to take me hours to do all the research, do everything. And now it's just like, I can get that done. And are the readers, are the listeners still getting the value? Yeah, I actually think they're getting more value, because, you know, when you're trying to produce something, and you mentioned, you know, being a mom, because you actually have a whole other life going on. And my dad is very ill right now, so I've got aging parents, kids going through exams, like I've got all this stuff going on. And it's like, okay, I could get that win. You know, I could get that copy created, or I could get, you know, all those things done, right? And so right now, AI is great to help enhance human productivity. Where it's going in the future, I mean, look at the advancements the last 18 months. It's really hard to say. But to your point right now, I think everyone should be using these AI tools to create, help them enhance what they're creating.
Absolutely. Especially if you are someone who has not yet taken that leap into entrepreneurship, and you're kind of, you know, using your free hours. You know, this is something that can really help you move faster in a great way. So I think it's a great skill to play with and try out.
Well, and I love that you, because you and I are similar in the fact that, you know, we love to be productive, but there's a balance to that, right? So yeah, definitely. So let me ask you this question. The final question I have, I'm going to ask you a question Tony would ask you, because I can, because this is a question, right? So it's this for people whose first language is in English, just track along with me and it'll make sense. So it is 20 years from now. Okay. And you're looking back 15 years to 5 years from now in your life as an entrepreneur. Okay. So, because the reason I'm asking it this way is kind of how Tony asked it, because we have a different perspective. Time changes perspective, right? So imagine that, you know, Ashley is like almost, you know, 60, and now she's looking back to age 45. Where are you at? What's happened in your entrepreneurial journey?
Great question. Loaded question. I would say I am kind of in this place in my career where, yes, I built my mastery in digital marketing. I do not think that is my life calling in any way. I do think it is going to be an important tool set for me to really cultivate what my calling will be or is going to be. And I want to make that shift now and moving into, you know, what this new career will be, which will involve a lot more play, a lot more space, a lot more cultivating of my hobbies. And I've had this idea that I've always wanted to open a coffee shop and a bakery, but it's all like very healthy eatings. And of course, this came from my period of depression and how I was able to, work to rewire my brain. And I want to be able to bring that to somebody else. And so I do want to make that leap, which is scary. Even if I've done it however many times, it's still always scary. And so, yes, I think looking back on myself at 45, I definitely want to know that I've taken that leap, and I've made, continue to make more space and am not so caught up in the productivity and the hustle and bustle, which I'm not saying you shouldn't. I do think it is a real part of, getting a business off the ground. So I'm not against like hustle and bustle, but when that's all you also want to make space and kind of reinvent your idea of success. Really think about what you want and what success looks like to you. It can be really easy to mold your success after mentors or people you see on the internet. And but you have to get so quiet with yourself to really define what success looks like for you. Even if you don't think it's possible because you haven't seen someone else do it, you have to, again, build that confidence in yourself and say it's possible and know what you want to make it happen.
And that's the space too that I hear in your voice about that vision and casting a vision for yourself that it doesn't matter what, anyone else thinks. You're an entrepreneur, so, love and condolences because it's really tough to work for someone else once you have that in your blood. And Jennifer Ryan, who is the episode that aired before this one, she did that when she her husband was transferred to Birmingham, Alabama. She was from New York. She didn't know anyone, and she missed all of that, like the healthy bakeries, cafes, juice bars. And she wrote all these letters, Ashley, to get bigger brands to come to Birmingham. And she comes from finance, so she had like all of the data, and this is why you should do it. And no one did. So she opened her own Blue
That's
Root, and
really
she still owns it. And guess how much restaurant experience she had? Zero. Eating
zero.
in restaurants. She had eaten, right? And that's the point. And that vision for you and that dream for you is your dream, and it's no one else's. And I think for people listening, and I know you have, the range of guests for the show, we've had 12-year-old entrepreneurs, we've had billionaires, and it's a different, the thing I want to emphasize to everyone listening as your host and your friend is this: you will know your dream by how it feels. And how it feels is what you need at that time. And what Ashley is saying is, I can hear it in her voice. She's got this zen about that vision. She's got this calm about that vision. She doesn't need the, and I've done years ago, I did a speaking event, and Gary Vee came on after me. He's like, that nice lady who's talking about balance. And then like 10 years later, Gary's all of his stuff is like all about balance. I'm like, dude, you made fun of me. And then you go and talk about the same thing. You just didn't get it because he didn't need that at that time. He was just all like, I've got to go until he did need it. Right. And we go through seasons. And that's the thing that I love. And I love that, again, in this episode, like how transparent you are. Like, I was depressed. I came back from it. You can too. This is what I did because it's not that it's necessarily going to happen to everyone, but it could.
Yeah, it could. And no, it's normal, and you're not alone, and you can find a way out of it. And while there was zen in my voice when I told you my dream, there was also a little bit of stutter and hesitation and thoughts of it feeling crazy, which is also a great thing. Like, that's when it's probably a dream of yours when you don't want to tell anybody out loud.
Well, thousands of people who listen to this episode have now heard it. So
Yep. I
it's
gotta make it happen.
when you hear the saying it's out there in the world, it's literally out there in the world. So if you think that Ashley should pursue this, tag us on social and let her know. And the thing I will say to you, Ashley, the number one reason, you know this, that any business fails is lack of cash flow. Number two is lack of marketing. And I know with your background, it doesn't matter that, you know, you've never owned a restaurant. We've had so many founders who, like one gal, she bought a landscaping company. She had never, like, you know, ridden a lawnmower in her life, right? So the having marketing and finance background, you can basically build any kind of business. And I just wish you every success. And I know you've touched a lot of people in this episode, and including myself. And so I'm excited for you. You need to invite me to the grand opening, because absolutely. I'll be there.
Yes. Everyone come out to California. You're all invited.
Yeah. And especially where you live, it will not take a second invitation. I'll be there in a heartbeat. It's beautiful.
Susan, and I'm looking forward to seeing how your AI businesses develop. Very exciting time to be in that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's solving menopause for women using AI and gamification. There's 50 million women suffering from menopause right now, just in the United States alone, as we have this conversation. So it's a big problem. And like Ashley, I'm kind of that girl who does a really good job when her back's against the wall. So it's going to be a fun journey. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for being here. I'm so grateful for our time together and for everyone listening. Sending you all so much love. You've got this. All of the world's problems can be solved by entrepreneurs. So get out there, get the courage to get your business going. And with that, God bless, go rock your day. And I will see you in the next episode.
Hey, this is Susan, and thanks so much for listening to this episode on Raw and Real Entrepreneurship. If this episode or any episode has been helpful to you, you've gotten at least one solid tip from myself or my guests, I would love it if you would leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. After you leave your review, go ahead and email reviews@susansly.com. Let us know where you left the review. And if I read your review on air, you could get a $50 Amazon gift card. And we would so appreciate it, because reviews do help boost the show and get this message all over the world. If you're interested in any of the resources we discussed on the show, go to susansly.com. That's where all the show notes live. And with that, go out there, rock your day, God bless, and I will see you in the next episode.
Are you currently an employee looking to start your own business? Maybe you've been thinking about it for a while and you're just not sure where to start. Well, my course, Employee to Entrepreneur, combines my decades of experience as an entrepreneur with proven methods, techniques, and skills to help you take that leap and start your own business. This course is self-paced, learn on demand, and comes with an incredible workbook. And that will allow you to go through this content piece by piece by piece, absorb it, take action, and then go on to the next module. So check out my course on susansly.com, Employee to Entrepreneur.